Stand with me and let's read together Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let's pray. Father, we just pray for your wisdom that you'd give us from your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit that we might be obedient and walk in a manner that would be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Romans. We've learned a lot. Romans 12. Paul talked about how we deal with fellow brethren and how we deal with those outside the faith, overcome evil with good. And then he talks about in chapter 13 about how we should respect the government that God has put in place over us, that it's there for a reason to keep order, and we should obey it, only with the exception of we still cannot violate the law of God. So if the law of the land violates the law of God, then we may have to disobey and take the consequences. But we should seek for conscience sake, we should seek to obey the laws of the land. Now, chapter 14, he talks about, again, our dealings with other brethren, okay, other believers. So he says, him that is weak in the faith. Okay, so it's a believer, but maybe it's a new believer or someone that's not real solidly grounded. Receive ye. Okay, so we should welcome any believer into our fellowship, right? We're welcome to, even if we don't all exactly have the exact same standards and beliefs, it's okay. We need to welcome even those that are weak in the faith, but not to doubtful disputation. We shouldn't let it be a source of controversy and all that sort of thing. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Okay? Vegetables only. Remember Paul talks about, meat sacrificed to idols and all those things is a problem. Well, it can be for some people. Now, here, let's say, remember Peter. In the book of Acts, when Peter, when Cornelius was praying that someone would come and share the gospel with him, and Peter fell asleep up on the rooftop, and God gave him a vision. Remember when he let down a sheet with all sorts of animals, including those that were unclean to the Jewish, and God told him to take and eat? And Peter said, no, I've never touched anything unclean. And God said, call not unclean that's which I have created. All things are clean, okay? So, then he understood that it was okay for him to go and go into the home of a Gentile, which would have been considered unclean before. And so God used that to teach him. So people are at different places in their spiritual walk. That's okay. We can accept that. Some people, I remember Benjamin Franklin, which I don't believe that Benjamin Franklin was a true believer. He believed in God, but I don't believe he ever committed his life to Jesus Christ. He was truly what we call a Christian. But at one point, he decided that it was better to be a vegetarian, not eat meat. That was the more spiritual thing to do. And so he started that, but then he basically persisted in it because it saved him money. Okay. Then he decided it was a good thing because it was cheaper to live that way and he could buy more books. So he was going on. So for certain periods of his life, he did not eat meat. But one time he talks about being out on a fishing boat. And so he was there, eating his vegetables. And these guys were pulling in these fish and they were frying them up and it smelled pretty good. So suddenly he started thinking about eating meat again. So then he got to look and he said, well, when they gut these fish, do you find other fish? So if the fish eat each other, it must be okay for us to eat them, And we can come up with a justification for anything we want, right? So we're pretty good at that. So he didn't always stick to his vegetarian diet, okay? But, some people may think that's better. Well, that's okay. Let them. It says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. So if you know it's all okay, then don't look down on the brother who has a problem with that. If he thinks he should be a vegetarian, then let him. Let him not which eateth not judge him that eateth either. Either way, don't the one who has stricter rules shouldn't look down on those who has the less strict rules. One that has the less strict rules shouldn't look down on him that has the stricter rules. Why? For God hath received him. That's what matters, right? That is the criterion for fellowship within the body, right? There's one criteria. Have you been accepted by God? How do you get accepted by God? By trusting Jesus Christ for your Lord and Savior. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you're welcome. We all belong here, okay? And now on other issues, we may have differences. That's okay. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Ooh, that really shows us. It's like, okay, I can look at your standards and say, well, you're off on this and that. You do this and I don't do that and whatever. But who do we serve? We serve Jesus Christ, don't we? Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. So it's not my place to judge how well you're serving Jesus Christ. That's up to Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, if you're an employer, someone works for you, then you can judge the quality of their work, can't you? You can set a standard. If they don't meet it, you can have certain consequences, whatever, that's fine. But you don't do that to the guy that works for the other company, do you? He doesn't work for you. He works for somebody else. That's up to his boss. Okay, I remember that at work. You know, if I think, well, maybe I'm working harder than the guy across the hall from me. You know, I get there earlier, I get more done, I stay later, whatever. Well, not my problem. It's up to the boss, isn't it? He's the one they're accountable to, so let the boss take care of it. We're not the boss. We're not responsible for how others serve Jesus Christ. Okay, it's like you're responsible for your children. But you're not responsible for somebody else's kids. Okay? That's up to them. Okay? And that's what it says within the body. It says, one man esteemeth one day above another. We talked about people, some people that refrain from eating meats, some don't. Remember Paul talked about it, there was more to it there because it, you know, had a significance with being sacrificed to idols and all that sort of stuff. Or here maybe somebody has special days and somebody doesn't. Okay? I remember in Plymouth Plantation, the story written by Governor Bradford about the pilgrims that first settled on the New England coast. There were several batches of people that came and some newer ones had come. And so it happened to be Christmas Day. Okay. Well, they didn't generally celebrate Christmas Day. That wasn't the holiday for them. They didn't worry about it. They were busy working. They observed the Sabbath. But other than that, they went to work. So they were out working, but he said that there were certain families within the community that said, hey, it's Christmas Day, it's a holiday, we don't work. And so he was like, okay, you know, that's your view, we'll go on to work, but if you feel like it's a holy day, then you observe it as you see fit. So he went off to the fields, went working. Then he came back from the fields, and he found them all out playing games and that sort of thing. That didn't sit too well. He thought if it was a holy day, you needed to be sitting in church and worshiping and this and that. But you know, to each his own. But it says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Okay? We're accountable to God. We're personally accountable. So we need to make sure that we're comfortable with our convictions. Okay? It's open to correction. It's open to the Word. But if it's an issue that's not clearly stated in Scripture, I mean, we definitely shouldn't be doing something that's called wrong in Scripture, should we? I mean, that, we know that there's church discipline. We know that a brother should call you on it, all that sort of stuff. But if it's an issue of personal conviction, then it's personal conviction. It's between you and the Lord because you're the one that's up to that. I mean, some of the ladies here wear head coverings. Some of the ladies don't. Okay. Some of the men have beards. Some of the men don't. Okay. It's a personal issue. We need to do what we are convicted about, and we're accountable to our Lord personally. He that regardeth a day, regardeth it unto the Lord. So if you have a special day, if you celebrate holidays, or let's say that, I have some convictions about, on Sundays. I try not to shop on Sunday. I try not to eat out on Sunday. I try not to do work. You know, I don't mow the grass on Sunday. I don't go to the office if I can help it and all that sort of thing. But you may not feel the same way. Well, that's up to you. It's your conviction before your Lord. So you do what you feel pleases the Lord, and I'll do what I feel I need to do to please the Lord, and we can get along with that. Isn't that nice? We don't all have to dress the same way. We don't all have to have exactly the same convictions. We can still fellowship in the Lord and enjoy one another's company, encourage one another, and do it with a different set of convictions. Yeah, because we don't all have to be the same. That's not what he calls us to. He that regards the day, regards the Lord. So if you set apart a holiday or a Sabbath day and say, you know, that day I feel like it's not appropriate for me to be out doing whatever, then you set it apart, you glorify God with that. Or if you treat all days the same, you say, look, I worship the Lord every day. I treat every day as the Lord's day. Then that's great. He that eateth to the Lord. Okay? So, if you go out and, you know, you get out there and you eat and you have a nice big fat pork chop and really enjoy it and you thank God for the blessing of that meal, then praise God. If you set it aside and you fast or you do without meat and whatever, and you do it for the Lord, then you praise God as well. Okay? So you giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. We have to realize that what we do affects other people, doesn't it? Okay. The world tries to tell us, well, you know, there's no absolute standards. There's no absolute morality. You just do whatever you want to do. Well, it doesn't work that way, does it? What we do affects other people. It does. Most directly, probably our family. But beyond that, it affects our neighbors and whatever else. So, for whether we live, we need to live unto the Lord. We die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So, whichever way it goes, we belong to God. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. So, Jesus Christ is Lord goes for everybody, dead and alive. Because Jesus Christ lived in the flesh on this earth just like we do. He also died, but God raised him from the grave, and he has been resurrected. He's alive today and in heaven. He is the Lord both of those living currently on this earth, and he's the Lord of those that have died from this earth and are now in the afterlife. Okay? He's the Lord of all. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We don't have to worry about judging each other. Okay? We need to worry about, are we right with our Lord? Because guess who's going to be the judge, the final judge? Okay? He talks about the judgment seat of Christ. That is the judgment seat for all believers. Okay. So wait a minute. I thought we're not judged. Well, there is a judgment. Okay. It says that there's, you know, the two resurrections, the resurrection of the living, then a resurrection, second resurrection unto judgment. Well, that is going to be what's called the great white throne judgment, the way I understand it. And basically, that's going to be a judgment to say, are you in Jesus Christ or are you not? Okay. And if you're not, then you get judged by your works, and no one is going to be able to stand before God by their works. Because none of us is good enough. None of us reaches God's standard. Okay? We don't. We always think, well, I'm not that bad. You know, I've never murdered anybody or anything like that. Well, read scripture a little closer. What did Jesus say? If you've as much as hated your brother, you committed a murder in your heart. If you've as much as lusted someone, then you committed adultery already in your heart and you're guilty. Okay, so you really are. But also in Scripture, the word for sin, that usually is translated sin, means falling short of the mark. Okay, I thought about that. I was getting ready to change clothes yesterday, and I reached in the door and grabbed a fresh pair of jeans, and I just was going to toss them on the bed, set my clothes up, getting ready to go take my shower. And I reached over and I tossed them, and I missed the entire bed. I mean, I missed it. They just fell on the floor. And I thought, there it is. That's sin. It fell short. And it did. It didn't hit the goal. It didn't make it. It fell short. Okay? That's us. We go plop right on our faces. We don't reach God's standard. And I guarantee you don't. I don't care how good you are, your list of accomplishments. I don't care if you're Albert Schweitzer, Mother Teresa, whatever. You don't reach God's standard. Okay? Because if you want to see an example of God's standard, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and was obedient even to death on the cross. Jesus Christ was tempted personally by the devil after being 40 days in the wilderness without anything to eat. And he still pulled out scripture and stayed faithful to God no matter what. Jesus Christ is the standard that none of us can attain to. Therefore, we're all guilty. So, we have to be in Jesus Christ to withstand the judgment. In other words, if we ask Jesus Christ to forgive our sins, we trust him, then when he comes to that great white throne of judgment, when God says, "Why, you know, what have you done to deserve to enter into my heaven?" You can say, "Nothing, Lord, but I plead the blood of Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior." And Jesus Christ will say, "Paid in full. His debt has been paid. I paid it on the cross." And we're clothed in his righteousness. But even believers, there's still a judgment. It says that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So there is a judgment. And so all of these things that we've done in our lives, you know, how have we treated one another? How have we stand for God's standards? How faithful a servant have we been? All those kind of things. We're going to be called to account for that. And that's a scary enough thought, isn't it? Now, it's not for the loss of salvation. Okay? But it says that some of us will enter in as if by fire. We're just barely going to make it. Okay? Heard the expression, the skin of your teeth? Okay, that's it. If we haven't lived the sort of life that he wanted us to live. So we are accountable to a judge. And doesn't that make a difference when you know you're accountable? When you know, when you know it's review time at work and the boss is going to review your accomplishments, don't you, you know, fill out the paperwork and you put all the good things you did, you list it all down there and get it all out. You want to put your best foot forward. We know that we're accountable. It keeps us on our best behavior. Okay? Well, we are accountable. Okay? Even though our sins are forgiven. Absolutely. They've been forgiven. From the moment of our salvation, all our sins are forgiven. But we're still accountable even for every idle word that we speak. That's not every curse word we say. That's every useless thing that we said. Things we said that were not necessarily edifying, glorifying to God, lifting up our brethren, those sorts of things. We're accountable for all of that, and we're going to be held, and God is going to judge. So we are going to stand before that. So why are we worried about judging one another when we need to be worried about we're going to be standing before the judge ourselves? Okay? For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. So when we come to that judgment seat of Christ, what are we going to do? We're going to bow down in worship. Okay, I was reading a biography of William Tyndale. Okay, he's the man who gave us pretty much the scriptures in English that we have today. He paid with his life because it was against the law of the King of England to do such a thing. And he, in his notes, when he did the translation, he wrote the, he's the one that said that his, he always said, if I get to do what I want to do, if I get to do my translation, then the plowboy in the field will know more scripture than the Pope. Okay? That was his goal, was for everyone to know scripture. And so he tried to write it very simply and clearly in English that we could understand. And he even wrote a little glossary. Okay? This is before Daniel Webster. There was no English dictionary when Tyndale wrote his English Bible. So at the end, he would put a little glossary of words that he thought we needed to understand because he's the first one. Now, we know there was Wycliffe, and Wycliffe did write an English Bible about 150 years before Tyndale did. But Wycliffe just took the Latin Vulgate that the Roman Catholic Church had and translated that Latin into English. What Tyndale did is he went back and read the Greek and the Hebrew and translated it into English. And he tried to translate it. He didn't translate it for priests. He didn't translate it for scholars. He translated it for the common man. He translated it for you and I so that we can understand it. And so in his glossary, he defined words he thought we needed to understand. And what I remember noticing was worship. And he said, worship is when we bow down on our faces. It's when we get down prostrate, leaning on our arms and our faces to the ground. That was his definition of worship. When the word he translated is worship. And so we need to realize that every knee will bow in worship. Okay, everyone is going to bow before Jesus Christ. Now, are we going to do that in this life so that we can be at this judgment of Jesus Christ for rewards and loss of rewards, not for loss of salvation? Or are we going to stiffen up and refuse to bow down before him and then have to be and judged at the great white throne, which we will fail and be cast into the lake of fire? Okay, that's the two options we have. So he said, every knee shall bow. You're going to bow to him one way or the other. We can either bow willingly. I can picture that where we see Jesus Christ. Like you read the start of the book of Revelation. Okay, and John sees a vision of Jesus Christ. What does he do? Fell on his face as dead. Okay, Jesus Christ had the comfort and strength in him that he could stand back up. He fell out. That's our choice. We can, if we surrender our lives to him now, when we come to this judgment, we will fall on our faces before him, absolutely. But we'll do it in praise and in worship, glorifying his name. Or we can be stubborn and we can be bent and we can be broken, where we have to bow before him, because Everyone, all the lost world, all those that have refused him all through their lives will still have to recognize Jesus Christ as Lord, because it's going to be irresistible. He is the great and mighty Lord, and you're going to recognize him one way or the other. So every knee will bow to me, to Jesus Christ, and every tongue shall confess to God, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So we do have to give account, okay? You're either going to have to give account that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're going to have to give account for every wicked deed that you did in your life. Everything, one way or the other. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. We don't need to get so hung up on everybody else. You know, are you doing things exactly the way I would do them? Well, probably not. And that's probably good in some cases. But we don't have to do everything exactly the same way, but we do all have to submit to the same Lord. That's the standard. Judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block for an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Okay, a stumbling block is what the mean teenage gangs used to do out in the streets, okay, because they're out in the streets, and you had beggars and street people and things like that. And so they would think it'd be really funny when you see the blind guy heading down the sidewalk. You put a big rock right out in front of him so he trips over it and falls on his face and you have a good laugh. Okay, that was a stumbling block, which I confess I feel guilty this week because I inadvertently put a stumbling block in Angela's way this week. Literally, okay, not more. I left a big old box in the front hall at the bottom of the stairs. And Angela was coming down the stairs carrying a laundry basket. You know how it is carrying a laundry basket. You can't see where you're stepping. And she went tripped flat over that box, just right on her face, tripped flat over it. So I have been guilty of leaving a stumbling block in her path. So I feel sorry for that. That was wrong. But no, we're not supposed to leave a stumbling block to others. So what our commitment, instead of judging, saying, well, I have these high standards, but you don't, you know, you do this and that, and I don't do that, you know. I don't drink Cokes or coffee or whatever, but you do, so you must not be as spiritual as I am, you know. It's like, no. What I need to be concerned about is how do my actions affect other people? Does anything that I do cause someone else to stumble and fall? I'll give you a quick example. I used to work, when I was in high school, I worked at a plumbing warehouse. And one of the men that worked there was a man named Brady. Okay, Brady was a great, big, strong, muscular black man who had had kind of a rough past. He had been in prison, I believe, before he had been saved and some things like that. But he was saved, and he was a devout Christian, boys. First time I got in the truck with Brady, he started witnessing to me. Okay, right off. You know, Brady was a joy to go out with. But Brady loved to play pool. Okay, he just loved to play pool. Well, where do they have pool tables? And bars and clubs and pool halls, okay? Well, Brady loved to play pool, but Brady was a strong Christian and he was no longer tempted to drink and carouse and whatever. So he would still go to those pool halls and just play pool. He didn't drink. He didn't do anything else. He was a stronger, it apparently was not a temptation for him. So he didn't have a problem with going into these places to play pool. So he'd go there so he could play pool. Until one day, some lady that he knew was like, Brady, I thought you were a Christian. He's like, I am. She says, then why do I see you hanging out at those same old places you used to hang out? What are you doing? And he got convicted that he was being a stumbling block to other people by being seen in these places. Okay, he personally never did drink again, never did have a problem with that sort of thing, but being seen there was giving a bad testimony, so Brady quit going to these places. Okay, he gave up playing pool so that he wouldn't be a bad witness. He did not want to be a stumbling block to other people. That's what we have to think about, is not so much, you know, what are my standards and you should have the same standards, but how do the things I allow into my life, how do they affect other people? Maybe new young believers, maybe kids growing up. Are there things that I allow that are a bad witness or a temptation for them? Not just is it a temptation for you, is it a temptation for them? We've got to consider that. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Okay, just like like Jesus told Peter, you know, it's all clean. Everything I've created, it's all unclean by itself. Or as Paul said about meat sacrificed to idols. Idols are nothing. The meat is meat. Don't worry about it. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So let's say that you have a problem. You feel bad about eating out on Sunday. You've got a conviction you shouldn't eat out on Sunday. And I eat out on Sunday every week. Okay? You like that? Well, should I invite you to go along with me? No. I should reconsider what I'm doing because is it a temptation for you? Is it going to cause you to stumble? Think about what it does. I remember a story that T.C. and Nelda Carroll, he was a pastor of this church for many years, and then Brother Joe and Becky Merriam started this church back in the 60s in their home. And every Sunday after church, they went over to Steak Country for lunch. Oh, if you were here long enough, remember, say, that was a good place to eat. I loved Steak Country. They had the best steaks at a good price and a big salad bar. I really enjoyed going there. But they used to go there every Sunday for lunch. So T.C., being T.C., was witnessing to the waitress, asking her why she wasn't in church and this and that. She said, because you church people, I have to work because all you church people come here after church. So I have to be here. T.C. quit going out to eat on Sunday. Okay, because of that, he said that was it. I never did it again. It wasn't that he personally had a problem with it, but he was being a stumbling block to someone else. Okay, we have to consider our actions. How does that affect others? But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now thou walkest not charitably. You're not acting in love if you're causing difficulty for someone else. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Ooh, ooh. I mean, I may love a good steak for lunch, but if it's causing someone else to stumble, it's not worth it. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. You may be the one, you may be able to eat the meat that these others were kind of afraid of because it was offered to idols. You can say, doesn't bother me. I know there's nothing in it. I can eat it and enjoy it and go on. Well, that's great that you're not worried about it. You're not superstitious. But don't let that cause a bad reputation or cause someone else to stumble. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Okay? You know, it really doesn't matter what we eat and drink, do we? Now, we think it's pretty important. Okay, I've got the things I like to eat, and I like to eat at a certain time, and this and that. But you know, after you've finished a meal, does it really make much difference what it was? Okay, it could be a T-bone steak or a bologna sandwich, and after you're finished, it's all about the same difference, isn't it? Okay, so let's don't let things like food and drink be a stumbling block to us or to anyone else. But what is the kingdom of God? It's righteousness, being right with God, doing right things. That's what matters. And peace, bringing the peace of God to man, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what matters most. And if we have to give up some habit or some this and that, so be it. For he that in those things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. We need to lift each other up. Love thy neighbor as love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. So, you say, well, you know, I can't worry about what everybody thinks about what I do. No, you can't. But if you can see that something is causing a weaker brother to stumble, then it's worth denying yourself. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned or condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. Okay? What we do, we need to do out of our conviction that this is what's right. And if you're doing it and you don't think it's right, then it's sin. You need to be acting the way God leads you to act. whatever that is. Stick with it. Stand for your convictions. Absolutely. Be strong in your convictions. That's good. But it doesn't mean that I have to hold everybody else accountable to my convictions. Okay? There, each one of us is accountable personally to God. But for what God convicts us of, stand strong. Stay for those convictions. Stand for it and consider how your actions affect other people. We want our words and our deeds to be edifying. Okay? In other words, to lift up others, to point people to God, to encourage them in their walk, and not just be a show of our own pride or our own selfishness.